Book of John, chapter number 3. Very familiar text. I want to read verses 16 down to verse number 21 this morning. Book of John, chapter number 3. And I'm going to start in verse number 16. Very familiar verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son to the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank You for this book we call the Bible. Thank You, O God, for its truth. And Lord, I pray this morning that the truth of Your Word might sink deep into our soul. You have said it so very clearly. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that there might be freedom from the condemnation of sin in the life of every individual in this room. Lord, if there be one that's lost, I pray they get saved today. Make the truth of that very clear in hearts and lives, bring conviction. And Lord, I pray that to the lives of those who know You, You bring the comfort, instruction, whatever it needs today. Spirit of God, You know needs. You're the one who can speak. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. Thank you for standing. A popular thought as I was growing up, and I assume it's still in the world today, amongst those who many times call them Christians, is the idea that one of these days that we're all going to stand before God and He's going to judge us. And when God is done judging us, He's going to weigh our good works and God's going to weigh our bad works. And if the good ones outweigh the bad ones, well, we get to go to heaven. And most people that I have run into, they believe they've got enough good works that they're going to make it into heaven. But I want to remind you of the truth from the Word of God, because God says that even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And what we think is not always what is true. And you and I need to understand something today, and that is the good can never outweigh the evil. The good can never take away from the evil. It's like this. You can look at an individual and you can look at him and you say, boy, that's a really good person. But he killed a guy 6 years ago. So what will we call him? He's a murderer. He only did it one time. I mean, do you feel real confident sitting with somebody like that? He's done it once, so he might be what? He might try it again. And that's the way we are as people. We have that propensity to evil. We are sinners indeed. We need to understand something else. As we look here in the Scripture, in verse number 18, notice what it says. He that believeth not He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is what? Condemned already. That's an interesting thought. We find that the trial has already taken place. The verdict has been handed down, and the sentence has been given. And that sentence is, we are guilty. He that believeth not is condemned, not later, already. The judgment has taken place. That verdict is guilty. And what is the guilt that we have? The guilt is that we have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. There's something that needs to take place. And that is that because of the verdict and because the sentence has already been given, and we deserve to die and to go to hell and to be in eternity without God, there's a necessity for one thing. It's called a pardon. For many years, we were fortunate to have come to our church, Donna and Doyle Terry. Doyle had been a detective years ago, and he understood this very vividly. And he used to talk about and sing about the pardon that he got from God. Pardons are that which are given by the governor of the land. A number of years ago, we had sitting in our church for many, many services a man who had been pardoned by the President of the United States. He'd been pardoned of a capital crime, and that crime is the one I mentioned a while ago, that of murder. And the President of the United States gave him a pardon. The only way that he could get out of serving his sentence, the only way that he would get out of even the death penalty, and he received that after requesting it from the President of the United States. Pardons are applied to criminals who know and understand that execution is imminent. And they understand that they've lost all their appeals because they are guilty, and all they can do is come to the governor of the land and ask them for their grace and their mercy. And that can come to them. And so that's what it speaks of in verse number 18. The condemnation that we find here in this chapter tells us that it comes to us in the form of light. Now that's interesting. It says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil." Light has a way of showing up that which is wrong in our lives. It is the light of God that does that in our lives, that you and I might see our sin and come to Him. Now, all of us in this room, we have sinned against God. Is that not true? I mean, we've sinned against God. You know, the Bible says to children, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what?" Right. By the way, that's the first part of the word righteous. It's the right thing to do. We are to obey our parents. And yet I believe that probably in this room there's not a child, even if we are in our 60s or 70s or 80s or 90s, even we who are older, we can remember back there was a time when we disobeyed our parents. And yet that is a law of God. That is a command of God. That is a directive that God has given to us. And so you and I, we at this very present time, we are sinners and we need the pardon of God. By the way, many times as parents we sin. We sin against our children. You know, there's an interesting verse I was thinking about this morning. And I got to go back and look at it because I forget all the verse. Any of you have that problem? This interesting verse. In chapter number 13, verse 24, it says this, "He that spareth his rod," you ever thought about this? "Hateth his son." Wow. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." By the way, you believe the Bible's true? How many parents here say, "Boy, preacher, I love that about children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Well, parents have an obligation to children to make them do right. "And he that spareth his rod hateth his son." If we're going to love them, we're going to have to make them do right. "He that loveth him," notice this, "chasteneth him." Here's an interesting word, "betimes." Very simply stated, that means early. Don't wait till it's too late. Children need correction. If we love them, we will do it. I hear nowadays people saying, "Well, we're teaching them to be violent." No. You misunderstand what is taking place. You must understand that this is not violence. This is to stop violence. It is to curb it. It is to help our children to grow. And yet, many times we as parents, we refuse to understand God's Word. We refuse to follow His dictates in our lives. We refuse it as husbands. We refuse it as... let me rephrase that. You refuse it as wives. I don't want to include myself as a wife here. Okay? I mean, the Bible tells us to what? Love our wives. By the way, you know what women need? Women need to know they're loved. They need to know that. And by the way, just to say I love you doesn't cut it. They need to... They're emotional creatures. Men, they are very difficult people. I mean, think about it, guys. As your wife, have they ever just cried? And you say, what are you crying about? They say, I don't know. For a guy, we don't understand it. Why would you cry about I don't know? I don't get it. I got a bruised lip. Some of you have been making fun of my lip. Matter of fact, somebody said my whole jaw looked like it was bruised. And no, Mrs. Springer didn't backhand me. Seriously. Brother Todd was telling mother-in-law jokes and I told one in the wrong place. No, that wasn't it either. I was chewing food and I bit my lip. And you get a little puffy there, and my teeth get close to the lip. Your teeth close to your lips? And it got close to my lip again. I mean, real close. I bit it again. You know what I did? Your sister was sitting there. She saw it. I had tears in my eyes. I mean, it hurt. If I'm going to cry, it's for a reason. Amen, Q? I don't understand. Why, Doc? Why does a woman cry for no reason? But they need that love. Amen? The Bible tells men, by the way, in the book of Ephesians, it says three times to love your wives. One of the times he says, even as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. Women need that kind of love. I mean, they need that kind of maintenance in their life all the time. Men need something too. You know what men need? The Bible says the wives are to what? Submit themselves to the husbands. You know what men need? Men need respect. They need that. Right? And so that matter of submission is a matter of respect. I must say this to men. God said it to us three times, to her one time, and as we're the leaders of the family, I think what needs to start with us, we earn the respect. But God's given us these assignments. And as we look at that, listen, what do we find? We've not done those things as we ought. What man has been totally loving to his wife? What wife has been totally respectful to her husband? What child has been completely obedient to their parents? What is needed in our lives? We need a pardon. And God has sent His light, the light of His Word, the light of the precious Word of God. The Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my soul. He has sent us this illusionary object that men so hate to what? Reveal our sin. This precious Word. And thus we find that men seek to ridicule the Word of God. Men seek to disprove the Word of God. Why? Because they do not like what it says about their sin. You know, people can take the Word of God when it's given a history lesson. They can look at its poetry and say, aren't those beautiful words? They can even take some of the life lessons and consider them good. But when it begins to talk about who we are, all of a sudden, we want to shove it aside. The precious Word of God. It is a light unto our soul. Men rise up and boast of their inventions. But in the end, it takes them nowhere but an eternal hell. And one must allow the Word of God to show its light into our lives and understand. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Do we get it this morning? Nobody in this room is perfect. In fact, we are far from it. We're nowhere near it. And we need a pardon from God. The condemnation that comes because of the light of God through His Word. But may I also say, through the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8, verse number 12, it says, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Here's an interesting time in the life of Jesus. It's during a celebration, and there's a great light that has been lit in the temple area. It has shone throughout the night, and as the day comes and that light is now extinguished at the end of the feast, Jesus stands and He says to the crowd there, "I am the light of the world." And men look at Jesus and they hate Jesus because He is righteous and perfect. And so what takes place in our day and age? Oftentimes we find that men ridicule Jesus. We find that men try to make Him like unto anybody else. We even find movies that come out and try to depict Him as a licentious person. Some even try to make Him a homosexual. And all sorts of depraved things. It's interesting. The world can handle a baby Jesus, but not a grown righteous man who reminds them of their sin. Easter Sunday's about upon us, and men can handle a rabbit that lays eggs. By the way, I have hunted rabbits, seen the eggs they lay. They're little brown things, and they're about the size of a pea. And then we turn around and say, the story of Jesus is ridiculous. Give me a break. And this man, this God-man, Jesus Christ, reminds them of their sin. In chapter 15 of our book here, it says, "If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated me and my Father." And the righteousness of Christ reminds them of who they are. And men don't want to be around the Lord Jesus Christ or hear about Him because it reminds them of their sin. But let me put another one into the mix of this. In the book of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, "Ye are the light of the world." You know who He's talking to? He's talking to God's people. Now, sometimes as the light of the world, we like to put a bushel over it, don't we? Sometimes we like to put a shade around it, and sometimes we dull the light. But nonetheless, if you're saved today, you are a light. Genuine Christians are changed people. They don't enjoy their sin anymore. That is why they love the light. Oh, they sin. Yes, they do things that are wrong. They don't take pleasure in it. If any man be in Christ, the Bible says he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And though they aren't perfect, their desire for it causes people to be very uncomfortable around them. I mean, all you have to do is act polite and act like what a Christian ought to act like. And there's going to be people say, "Oh, he thinks he's a goody two-shoes." I've never quite figured out what two are they talking about there, T-O-T-O-O or T-W-O. Somebody fill me in someday. That's why people don't like to go to church. Why? Because there's Christians there. At church, they have the Bible. They have the Lord Jesus Christ. They have Christians. And so what happens? We make up any kind and all kinds of excuses because we don't want to really face reality. I pick on you a lot, don't I? Did you put it back in a...
Yeah, I did.
Have you ever sat down in front of a mirror and, I mean, just looked at yourself? I mean, to the point it's almost scaring you because you're looking eyeball to eyeball. You ever done that? I mean, it's almost frightening, isn't it? Am I putting words in your mouth? Okay. Have you done that? We have this mirror right across from the throne. What is so funny? You do too, don't you? It's a great place of contemplation. I'm looking eyeball to eyeball. I mean, that thing's only about that far away from me. It was kind of scary. But boy, that really spoke to me. What is it like to really look at ourselves? Not physically, but to look inside. And to really see who we are. That's frightening. To see what we're capable of. We use a man's name, Adolf Hitler, and we think, what a cruel, cruel person. To be the one who is responsible ultimately for the death of 6 million Jews, and some believe as high as 30 million people. Do you know something, Pat? There's been a few people I wanted to annihilate. It's like the mother who looked at her child and said, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. We have those kinds of thoughts sometimes. Even as saved people. We have the ability to be an Adolf Hitler or a Mussolini or a Judas Iscariot. We have that ability. It's in us. Have we really looked and seen that? The Word of God becomes like a mirror to our soul. And we don't want to deal with that. We don't want to do that. We somehow want to cover everything up. No offense to the lady said, you need to use a little makeup on your lip. Not the way I chew it. Stuff probably tastes good. But that's what we do so often. We try to just hide things and cover it up. We're really depraved people. And the light of God shows that. He will do it through His Word. He will do it through the revelation of Jesus Christ in our lives. And believe it or not, as wicked as we are as Christians, God will use us in the lives of others. I have seen God take what I thought was carnal Christians and they bring people to church and get saved. Amen. Why do we need to have that realization of our condemnation? Why do we need that light? So that we can seek the pardon that God has. If you today were to apply to a pardon to President Obama, he needs one himself. If you were to apply for a pardon, you very likely would be turned down. But every application for pardon to Jesus Christ is granted. Do you remember what it said in verse number 16? For God so loved the world that He what? Gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You and I today we have the privilege for the pardon of God. We have been set on the hot seat. The light has been hanging over. We've been interrogated and we have been found guilty. And our only hope is to seek the pardon of God. You see, the reason that we can get a pardon is the penalty we're supposed to serve has already been served. And God is just waiting for us to ask for it. It's ours. You won't ask until you believe Him. And so, really, technically, it's the believing that brings it. What a great God we have. That He would bring pardon to you and to me. That in His grace He would cause His light to shine upon us that we might see who we really are and cry out for that pardon. Maybe you're here today and you've never received the pardon of God in your life. It's available. It's never been turned down to a person that didn't want it. It's yours for the asking. If you believe Him about yourself and about Himself, let's pray. Father, today, thank You for the light that has shone in our lives to reveal to us who we are and who You are, that we might put our trust in You. Oh God, there's a need in this room today. There's a soul here that if they were to die, they'd go into eternity without You, in a place called hell. Lord, I pray that You'd help them to see who they are. They might turn to You and Your grace might be extended to them. God, work in hearts. Maybe there's a Christian here that their light has been obscure. It's not been as bright as it ought to be. They've not been the testimony and the witness in lives as it could have been. And they need to ask You to forgive them of that and to brighten that light that others might be saved. God, I pray You just work in hearts and lives in these moments, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.